Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 173, episode 1 of Dead Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It is February 22nd, a Monday, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. When I eat big cups, well, I know I'm gonna be the man that eats way more than two. When I get gout, yeah, you know I'm gonna be the man washing it down with dew. And I will eat 500 miles, and I would eat 500 more. Let me be the man who eats 1,000 Reese's cups and lays down on the floor. That is courtesy of Chrissy Yamaguchi, man, and I am thrilled to be joined by today's special guest co-host. She is the scam goddess herself, Miss Lacey Mosley.
Hey, what's up? It's Lacey Mosley, aka, and I am telling you, I'm not going nowhere. This is the worst time I've ever known. COVID has me staying at home. No way. No way, I'm dining out with you, babe. I'm not dining out with you.
Wow. Like,
that came from Dad Hound.
Dad Hound, all right.
Yeah, Dad Hound on Twitter. Thank you guys for the AKAs. I got like the first one that I saw that was fun, but I'm sure they're all great.
Yeah. Everybody, I mean, you are somebody that I feel like AKA writers would love to write for. Very limited range for me. They're like, he could do maybe The Pretenders and then like nursery rhymes. Lacey, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious, the talented Sarah June.
Wow, thank you. AKAs. I got AKAs. I got AKA YouTube channel, AKA Corpse Flower, AKA, let me try this one. I'm Sarah. I love you. I'm Sarah. You're so far away. For you guys.
Damn, that single tear that you had running down your face, that was beautiful.
Yeah, listeners can't see it, but I am crying.
Sarah, Lacey, how have you both been I feel like I need to check in with both of you. Let's start with you, Lacey. Yeah. How have you been?
I'm not, sorry, I was giving me this hand, though. I was trying to see what was up with this hand. What was the thought that came immediately to your head?
The thought that came immediately is I am in such ups and downs. That's why the fingers were doing the movements, the movement of the middle. It's because I'm reading the news and I'm going down, and then I'm going to my yard where I have a bunch of baby chicks, and then the mood is going up, and then I am thinking about the news and then back down again, and then back to the chicks, and so much joy, and it's bringing me directly to neutral. So I am at neutral.
I learned before, and I forgot this lesson, that I should not ask people how they're doing, because that is rude during the pandemic. It's just not a fair question to ask.
That's a
exactly.
Content
I'm terrible.
Warning,
what the fuck
you?
Do you think? Right. But what have you guys been up to? Let's do that one. Is there anything new going on? And if that's also a personal and unfair question, just tell me to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, this is a hardball interview.
Honestly, Jack, it really feels like how are you is like, so when's the last time you got laid? Like, they're just like, that's the same question now. I will say I'm actually feeling pretty good. I've been working for almost half, I would say most of the pandemic in some capacity, and then at one point shooting full time. So there was some really, really stressful bad points. But now, honey, I'm into like treating LA like I used to treat New York. Like in New York, I was never scared to like go to a movie by myself or go to the restaurant by myself or like do anything by myself. And obviously I can't be in a COVID box watching, you know, the latest features, but I can't go to the park. So I took myself to the park yesterday.
Wow.
Lunch,
love park.
And I sat on a blanket that I had in my car after I shook all the sand off it the last time I used it. And then I got one of those duck boats, you know, at Echo Park, you know, the people who will, like, boat
swan
around.
Swan boats.
Swan boat. You know how it's two people? It's very hard to boat by yourself. My legs are sore today, but I boated in a swan boat alone.
Did you boat in a little circle?
I did. I did the whole park. It was very cute. I crashed into some rocks a few times. No ducks were harmed as far as I know.
Thank you so much. Know.
But you were churning at such a speed that they might have just gotten chewed up and spit out the back of your swan boat.
They knew a thrill in their life too.
That's beautiful. That's like a rom-com montage, but for self-care. You were taking care of yourself. You were getting to know yourself.
Take yourself out, y'all. Because I know how it is right now. If you live alone, I do. I'm so tired of myself and these thoughts. Lacey knows we can go somewhere. So
yes,
yeah. My friend and I talk about our girlfriend. You know, it's like you got to be nice to your girlfriend.
Yeah,
and your girlfriend is you. So you got to take your girlfriend out on a date sometimes. Like sometimes the sex with your girlfriend that you are having with your girlfriend is is just not fun anymore. And it's just, you know, you gotta treat yourself like you have a hot girlfriend who you want to stay dating you.
Right.
Exactly.
You gotta get dressed up for your girlfriend. Yeah.
I lit a candle the last time I made love to me.
Yes.
Wow.
I bet your girlfriend loved that. Make her feel special.
Yeah. Right. And sorry, June, the chicks are doing good.
The chicks are doing great.
Chickies.
Yeah. That's my Google search. My last Google search was assisted hatch, because I had one little chicky that was like half out, but he couldn't get the shell open all the way.
Oh no.
And he was like peeping in there and he was breathing, so I knew he was okay, but it was like a day of him just like kind of being stuck in the shell. And I was worried to help him out, because when the chicks are developing in there, they're attached to the inner membrane. You know how the egg has like this like skin on it outside of the shell, like you have the shell and then the little skin, so they like attach to that, like they have like blood vessels in it and stuff. So if you just like open the shell, they could get hurt. So I was like, I'll leave him in there, but then I was like, what if he can't get out himself? Anyways, I did help him, and now he's fine and he's peeping and he's with all his brothers and sisters.
He's peeping.
Probably the smartest one. Don't
right.
He's the loudest.
He was like,
one.
I don't want to come to this raggedy bitch. Is where are we? America? Somebody give me a zip up.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm gonna stay in here.
I was like, yeah, I get you, dude. I get you. Yeah, stay with the membrane. It's feeding me. It's got all my needs met. It's warm in here. But yeah, they're good now, and they're just like little peepees, and I hold them, and they're fluffy, and they're cute as fuck, and yeah, they make me real happy, and it's nice because there's a lot of bad stuff going on.
I love an emo pet. Dog, when the first dog that my wife and I bought when we first got together, like we went to the airport to pick him up, and like,
did he fly to you?
Yeah, he flew to me. He's a first class.
That's so cool.
You know, but so the
you know, as you do, go to the airport, right, pick up your dog.
So the dog crate.
My dog flies JetBlue.
Yes, yes, always. His frequent flyer miles are. But he was in a crate with another dog, and the first dog like jumped out and ran out, and we were like, "Oh, what's going on?" And then we like looked in, and our dog was just like in there, like. We always got the sense that he was like a junkie in a past life. Like, he mm-hmm. just was always something blue, feeling something blue. He always had the little, you know.
He's got a little sweetie. Hole avoiding
yeah.
him.
But then he was the most, he was very, very loving because he was so sad. Anyways,
no,
and you helped him.
I know.
Yeah. I don't want no yippy ass, happy ass dog. Right. Let's go outside all the time. Like, no, bitch. We are watching Netflix and crying. Sit down.
You are here to emotionally support me, and I am here to emotionally support you.
Yes.
Get in, Scruffy. Let's cry. Yes.
You know, that dog's name was Miles. Interestingly enough,
and now he co-hosts your podcast with
and now
you.
He co-hosts
he
my podcast
into a human
turned
man.
Into a real yeah at midnight. All right, sorry Jim, we're gonna get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're gonna tell our listeners just a couple of the things we're talking about. We will talk about the wisdom of letting the markets take care of our fire safety and our energy system upkeep in Texas and California. And also the shade that China has thrown our way and other Russia has thrown our way. Well deserved. We will talk about this sort of mainstream media account that like there is a rising tide of white supremacy that we need to like get out of the system. And just, you know, the fallacy of that idea because the system itself is white supremacy. We will talk about Parler. Parler's back. We can finally get back to putting up our parlees or whatever. So we'll talk about that.
Fleets? Our parles?
Parles. Yeah, there we go.
Our parles.
We'll talk about the worst pandemic housing situation I've heard of. And the new Netflix show coming from the people who made Game of Thrones, and the backstory therein. It's
why
wild.
Are they letting them do that?
I know.
Why? They would
why
not
are they letting
good.
Them do that?
Let's Matt, both of those Matts need to sit all the way the fuck down. Two
are their names
Matts
a Matt
in the industry.
Both Matts.
I'm
Matt and
sure.
Jeff. Jeff and
I
Matt.
The same name.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeff and Matt. Those are the same Matt. Name, I think.
I think they're basically. David and David.
Yeah, it's like something
Benioff
like that.
And, yeah, that's right.
Yep.
That's what it is. I was like, they do have the same name. I'm not making
yeah,
it
like
up. And
Dave
it's
and
basically
David.
Matt.
Yeah. Yep. It's Matt.
Male names suck. It's just, it's.
They don't have to.
Yeah, they don't have
right.
to. But
they don't
for the
have
most
to.
Part, they have.
Just stop naming your kids after apostles. That's
yes.
all I ask. Just get yeah. creative. Think outside the apostle box.
Nah, man. The Bible name slap, okay? That's a staple right there, okay?
John.
A Solomon, okay. Solomon's good. Saul, I love.
Yes, yeah, Solomon's classic.
Simon, Andrew, James, Matt, Luke, we're done.
Yeah.
We're just done.
Well, yeah, like there's a handful that are like the top five that just need to be retired for a century. Just give us
Andrew.
A century off.
I know a lot of Andrews. And
Andrew,
they're all great.
Michael, David, John.
When you're talking like Billboard charts of biblical names, those are yeah. all up there. They've been sitting
yeah.
at number 1 through 5 for a minute. I think you're yeah. right. Mm-hmm. I want some Orpas. That's what Oprah's name yep. was supposed to be. Let's get some Orpas out there, y'all.
Oprah's name was supposed to be Orpa?
Yes, they fucked up on her birth certificate and then she became Oprah, but it was Orpa.
Why Orpa. Was it Orpa? Is that biblical?
Yeah, I think so. Somebody in there, the girl's name is Orpa.
Damn, Oprah is so much better than Orpa. Oprah is.
Can you imagine? Oprah would not have a career.
Oh,
for
Orpa. It is. Oh, my Lord. She's in the Book of Ruth.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Orpah and her sister-in-law, Ruth, wished to go to Judea with Naomi. However, Naomi tried to persuade both Ruth and Orpah to return to their people and their names. Gods.
Yeah. Ruth, but Orpah got everybody a car right. and a turkey. Right. Amen.
Orpah chose to return to her people and say, I am God. That is what she
well,
did.
That's basically what Oprah did. That's what I don't know about y'all, but Oprah is my God. When I pray, was, she's yeah. here.
The name Oprah.
Oh, shit. She was killed by her own spindle.
Right.
Not you reading this like this TMZ. Oh, shit.
Did you guys hear? Not sure
That's
if you
how
heard.
I read the Bible. It's all right. new to me. So when I read these Wikipedias of the Bible, I'm like, she did what? Midrash did what?
Midrash. The invention of the name Oprah is like the invention of microwaves, like the just like an accidental thing. Like
that
they only
was perfect.
Yeah, they didn't realize they were inventing microwaves when they invented them. They just had a microwave in their pocket while they were trying to do something else and it like melted and they were like, oh shit. This
I don't think she would be a huge star.
No, definitely not.
Her name was Orpah.
Yeah.
No. Orpah. She was like, I'm Oprah, Orpah, and I'm here to deliver the 11 o'clock. They'd be like, get the fuck out of here, Orpah.
Orpah sounds like you're describing the dead body of some sort of sea mammal. Like,
wait
a dead whale is known as a Orpah.
Wait a second. I'm seeing here, I'm just getting word from our reporters in the field, our Wikipedia field here, that Oprah's name is Orpah.
Oh, shit.
And people started calling her Oprah, and now she goes by Oprah. But it is telling me here that her name is Orpah Gale.
So you can always Orpah Gale?
Yeah, which makes me think, who's Gale?
What the fuck? Is Oprah Gale like Orpah? Verbal Kent? Are we just like pulling out like all the details that like she was making everything up all along?
Mm-hmm. Orpah, Gale. Oprah's not real. Gale's not real.
Wow.
I was about to say, is she Gale? Has she been Gale this whole time?
I think she
Orpah
is Gale.
Orpah Gale Stedman Winfrey is her full name, and everything else made up.
When you get that rich, you deserve three bodies. Yeah.
Yes. All right. But before we get to any of that, sorry, June, we like to ask our guests, what is your search history? I think we already heard that. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So what's something you think is underrated, friend?
Underrated. I wanted this today's underrated to go out to my dad. It's his birthday soon. Aww. So in honor of him, I'm gonna, give what I believe would be my dad's underrated. my dad's underrated is having a plan, having plan. You have to know where you're going and what you're doing. Where are we going? And then number two underrated, Shahram Nozeri, who I've sent you guys a link to play us out, some of his very cool Persian yodeling. It's really good shit. Three underrated, Pink Floyd. Old Iranian men love Pink Floyd because
what?
It sounds like classical Persian music.
Is that true? I didn't realize
that. Is true. Yeah. Wow. So you know how like the wall is like, dong.
Yeah.
Dong. They love that shit.
Wow.
Yeah. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, so Pink Floyd, Shahram, Shajarian, if you guys want to go on a little search of Persian classical music, go to Shajarian. What else does my dad think is underrated? Making him tea. he thinks that I should make him tea more. My dad calls, he's always like, where's the tea? Choy kujas. And I'm like, do you want me to make it? Are you asking? is that what you're asking me? He's like, where is it? I don't know, man. It's gone.
That's great way to ask. I'm gonna start doing that. where's the tea?
Have you seen my tea? Yeah.
Have you seen?
Where's the money, y'all? Where's the money?
Where's my stuff? Where's all this stuff for me? That's all my underrateds. That one's for my Baba.
That's great. What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, I've been seeing on TikTok, I guess the Zoomers are into 2000s fashion as an aesthetic.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know about this? Is that early 2000s fashion coming back?
This is the first time.
Oh, God. Okay, so there are a lot of great things about early 2000s fashion. I'm not here to, you know, to say that you shouldn't. Well, a sweatpant that says juicy on the butt, yes. Rhinestones on things, yes. But here's what I need to tell you guys about 2000s fashion. And Lacey, you know this. Jack, maybe you know this. But every young girl who was a teen in the early 2000s was scarred for life because we were told that what we should wear on our butts was low-rise jeans.
Yeah.
And low-rise jeans give you a thing called a muffin top, unless you have an eating disorder.
Right.
So if you did not have, like, if you see pictures of, like, Britney Spears wearing these low-rise jeans, she is a professional performer and dancer. She's got abs. She's doing fine in those jeans. But me in sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, I was wearing sweatpants every day. Now we call them joggers, but at my time, we called them sweatpants that you wear to school because just having that low-rise waistband cutting into my soft little belly, I can't tell you guys how much pain every time I put on a pair of jeans, I was like, why is my body shaped like this?
Right.
Because it's normal.
And, is low-rise jeans, is that one of the trends that's coming back?
It is. Okay, so here's the thing. A lot of 2000s fashion is coming back, and you guys are like, oh, I love 2000s fashion. It's so cool. But you know what 2000s fashion was? Skinny low-rise jeans, and you don't want those. Now you want the wide leg pants with the elastic waistband and the little pleated part at the top for your little tummy. So bring it all back. That's what I'm saying, is bring back all the 2000s fashion, but not the low-rise jeans, because it's not worth it.
Yeah.
You guys, like... Gen Z, they're so lucky. They know that being thick is beautiful. They know that fat is a gender-neutral descriptor. They know that you can be beautiful at any size, any color. So just, like, please don't. You're not going to like it. Like, go ahead with your Paris Hilton. Go ahead with your, you know, bedazzled phone case, Chihuahua in a bag, whatever. But leave the pants. Pick and choose. Leave the pants in the past. We have better pants now. I'm so proud of all of these young people for demanding wide-legged pants with a soft, stretchy waistband and high-rise jeans. You couldn't find high-rise jeans in 2002.
Yeah.
Nowhere.
Yeah.
No. I will personally fist fight everybody in Aeropostale if I see low-rise jeans come back. Like, Mimi at the Abercrombie, we both gonna smell like patchouli and 14-year-old boy when I finish fighting you. No, it's not happening.
Oh. Yeah.
Just like trying to find jeans in like a dark ass store. Like, remember when they just turned all the lights off in the Abercrombie? It was just half the lights were off because they were like, it's vibe. It's ambiance. It was like, I can't see.
Smell. Like,
and a shirtless dude. Yeah.
Two shirtless dudes out at the front. And I was like, what is my sexuality? So hard. So hard to know.
That's
2000s fashion was so scarring. So scarring.
Really? Well, so are people going to start wearing bootcut jeans again? Because I have been waiting for this.
Jack, it's happening.
Bootcut, baby.
Yeah, bootcut.
By the front door with the...
Yeah. Very tight, flared below the knee. You know what I'm saying?
Now Jack can finally wear his cowboy boots.
Yep.
And now look, we've got Lacey's wearing her Ashton Kutcher trucker hat. It's like 2004 all over again.
Bon Dutch, baby. I got to get one of those shirts that's a tattoo, but it's also a shirt. You know what I'm talking about. You know, the shirt that says, I'm about to get in a bar fight tonight. On
Tap out. Yeah.
It's a body glove for men, and it has fake tattoos on it.
There we
go. Ed Hardy.
Like, I'm going to drink 4 Long Island iced teas, and I'm going to fight this guy for a woman that's cheating on me. Shirt.
Oh boy.
Has Ed Hardy just been like kind of waiting? Just being like,
yeah.
Cause you, yeah. It is like,
he's in the shadows.
Yeah. He's just like, you rang? cause this is like, I was nodding when you said 2000s fashion is coming back on TikTok, but this is the very first I've heard of it. It's like fucking clockwork. It's just every, like, once you hit the 20s, people
years.
Are going to start. Yeah, fetishizing the 2000s fashion. Mm-hmm. And it's bad, you guys. It's bad. Not
yeah,
sound
it was
too much
really
like
bad.
An old person.
It's like, I mean, it is one of the ugliest decades of fashion
in
recent memory.
It
and
was
so
like
I,
we saw the 80s and we're like, we can beat that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, let's one up those fuckers. So, you know, you go from the like kind of cool color block windbreaker 90s ski pants sort of vibe, like big, you know, daisies and things. And then you go into the just like every part of your body exposed, every part of your body just encased like a little sausage. And we're better than that now. We have natural fibers, you know?
Yeah. I feel like we're just figuring out the good parts of the 90s and like getting our hand around that. And now we're going to move on to the 2000s and fuck it all up again. But like there are so many bad trends. There was like a thing where like having dirty blonde hair, like not dirty blonde, like kind black, of blonde, but like life. Your hair looked dirty was like a thing that Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston like were rocking everywhere.
Yeah, you had to put a bunch of shit in your hair, like wash your hair, then put a bunch of, you know, snot in it.
Right, to make it dirty. Right.
Or it's blonde on top and black on the bottom. I don't know who said, Christina Aguilera, you ruined a whole generation. And also, there's one thing, though, that every woman will be ready to come back with from the 2000s, and that is thin eyebrows, because some of us never recovered. Some of y'all's eyebrows look like three ants walking in a line, and listen, it's not your fault.
I'm very lucky because my strong hair genes allowed my eyebrows to return. But this is one of those things where like the Zoomers do not understand that it is such a mind fuck to me that people draw on extra eyebrow hair now. Like these white girls getting microblading in 2000. This was unthinkable. It was like, take the whole thing off, shave the whole thing off, draw it on with a little pencil. The idea that people would want thicker eyebrows, just the opposite, literally the opposite. And I know this is like, I'm old as shit now, sorry. But 20 years, suddenly it's back. Everything's back and it's different. Appreciate the 2000, what year is it? Appreciate 2020's fashion. The thick eyebrows, leave them. You have a mustache now. Doesn't matter. You know, wear a stretchy pant. You can wear sweatpants. There's formal sweatpants. Yeah. I'm so happy for these kids now. And I don't want them to get sucked in to that,
the eyebrows also leave in the early 2000s.
Leave those there. Yeah. Leave the low rise pants there. We don't need it.
A natural brow. Let's keep
your brows are beautiful.
Progressive brow growth.
I'm gonna start brow shaming because I'm chaotic evil. I'm gonna get the thin brow back. I'm gonna start running late night commercials. Like, are your brows too big?
Yeah. I remember I've always noticed eyebrows for some reason, and like
I think it's because you got some great ones, Jack.
You have really good eyebrows. I was thinking that.
Strong brow game.
You need to give them over.
One time
relinquish them.
But like I always remember, first of all, I've like been able to notice like if a magazine was old because like the eyebrow like fashion changes. But like I do remember like scenes in like a League of Their Own. There's a line where she's like, eyebrows, there's supposed to be two of them, and like to somebody who had a unibrow. Eyebrows are they're subtly influential and powerful.
If you have thick eyebrows, it is a great way to dominate every single person around you without having to do anything.
Right.
Like, if you have a unibrow, let it grow, because everybody's going to be scared of you because they're like, this guy's fucking crazy.
Anthony Davis. I mean, he's made it cool again.
They can make you shave for work, but they can't make you get rid of your unibrow.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Very true.
I'm very excited for lower back hair to become fashionable, because then I will truly be the hottest woman in the universe.
Yeah.
Maybe 10 more years and whatever comes after Zoomers will be like drawing on hair on their lower back, the little pencil, like going to the laser place to get it lasered on.
Right.
Can't wait. We gotta get you some braids. We gotta get you some cornrows. In the back.
Lower back braids. Yeah, some little beads on my lower back hair.
Yes. Cute.
Oh, the lower back tattoos, we can also leave in the 2000s, I think, because now you can just get one anywhere. And,
let's just like give them two things that we will allow them to bring from the 2000s. What is okay?
They have to be two bad things, though.
Okay.
I'll say Juicy Couture. We could bring back Juicy Couture.
Okay.
Because that was all right.
Sure.
You know, those are comfy clothes. Velour and suits. They say juicy on the butt.
Yeah, the velour suits were very velour comfortable.
Look like shit,
but hey.
I'm going to keep it chaotic and I'm going to say y'all can bring back jout fits. I want to see a whole jean outfit again.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Jean shoe, jean jacket, jean hat. Give me jean everything.
Look up Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jean outfit and just go from there.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a wow.
All jean everything. What
a
look.
Jean gown. Everything. A gown.
A gown. And who are you wearing with this beautiful gown tonight at the Academy?
Gown, yes.
the gown carpet instead of the red carpet.
Mm, yes.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Zach Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone. Transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system. Or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zach Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. And, you know, it's time to just speak in broad generalities. We're recording this days in advance of when you're hearing it. So just a kind of a digestion of last week's news. One of the stories that I kind of kept running into is just how inadequate, like, the market is at preparing us for anything. There was a story in the New York Times that talked about how Texas and California have both had big issues with their energy systems. And the New York Times was like, but it's not as easy as, like, the ideological arguments make it seem. But the two ideological arguments were both based around the idea that the market was going to solve everything. And it doesn't seem to work. Like, even
I can quote for you, Jack, somebody from this a couple years ago when I did, I came on this wonderful podcast, and I read the Reddit comments sometimes. I go to see if people have liked me or if they thought I was stupid. I am brave, and I was you can't hurt my feelings. I have some very mean family members. but somebody in those comments was saying that they didn't like how upset I was about capitalism because, yes, capitalism is a bad idea, but it's the best bad idea we have. And I just want everybody who has ever thought that or said that to just reconsider in light of the current moment. Is it the best bad idea we have, or are there other ideas that, while not perfect, are better?
Right.
Just a thought.
I do love you quoting that back to them at the worst moment for capitalism. Like,
is it the worst? Is it the worst?
It's been pretty bad. Or has it been worse? Yeah, that's true, though. It's probably
been worse.
So,
yeah, I mean, you're looking at, I'm not going to go off, I promise, but we still have kids in cages, and those kids are now freezing to death.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is that here's the thing about capitalism is it already was trash when we started, but it's like, oh, this chair is a good chair as long as you don't sit in it. Okay, everybody, this is the capitalism chair. Don't you put your ass in it. It will fall apart. And then everyone decided to take a seat over the past 18 months. COVID, a pandemic came and said, let me sit my ass down. And then Texas goes over and they're like, you know, we don't sit on the corner. The chair is already on the ground. Like, you know what I mean? Like, anytime capitalism is challenged, anytime things don't just work out perfectly and we're not super lucky, it falls apart in a grand scale. And then every day it falls apart in little ways because it fails everybody except for the extremely rich. And then the extremely rich love to be like, but we're making the jobs, y'all. And it's like, no, sweetie, in 2008, my tax coins had to go to you because y'all were fucking up. So if the market works, why didn't we just let it heal itself and y'all go out of business? Because that's healing, right? Capitalism is healing. We never let it heal. We always fix it before it implodes upon itself.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things...
Capitalism sows the seeds of its own destruction very effectively. It is very good at that.
One of the things that they talk about in this New York Times article is an issue they keep seeing is that people, these... energy systems will project based on average temperature rather than taking into account that it gets colder than the average temperature. And you can't just average all the temperatures and be like, well, it's going to work at 45 degrees during that month, so we should be good.
It's always September around here.
The
weather, it doesn't change.
Right. But it's a thing that, like, that's not a thing where they're too stupid to realize that the temperature goes up or down. It's that you're focused on putting the best face you can forward for your company, for whatever the thing is that you're working on, because you're constantly being judged by, like, Wall Street or whoever your shareholders are. It's like you're always trying to put your best foot forward, put on a happy face, make it seem like you've got things under control, and it ends up, you know, that just isn't the way things work well, and it ends up fucking people over and killing people. Like, we talked before about Enron. They were creating
my boys.
Yeah,
my boys.
Shout out to Enron.
That's my crew.
But they were basically putting out like projections of what the energy market was going to cost and how successfully it was going to perform, and using that to like set the costs for what the energy would cost in the future. And that just allowed them to basically print money for themselves. And it had no bearing on reality. It was just they made that much money because they said that's how much it was going to work. But that's it's just a complete clusterfuck of a system when you like are that reliant and that trusting of like market dynamics to solve all your problems.
GameStop.
Yeah. GameStop? Or
GameStop, yeah. Nobody, you know, that was the market at work, and it was seen as a you know, by Wall Street as a failure of the market that so many people could band together to artificially inflate the price of a stock. And but that was the market at work. And yeah. It was considered a problem, and it was, you know, certain stock trading apps banned buying GameStop stock for their users because that's not how the market is supposed to work for those people.
Right.
The market for them is supposed to work such that only rich people can do that. And Right. Poor people cannot do that. That was the only problem with the GameStop whole fucking issue.
It's just that capitalism has an excellent PR team.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So it's propaganda. Like, we love talking about the invisible hand, but I'm like, that hand is visible as shit. I can see the hand.
You're squishing me. Yeah,
right. Every time the hand comes in to fix bullshit with my money,
it is
like my money has
me.
To fix it. Yeah. So it's trash. I'm so tired of that. And I'm also just so tired of everyone. And I've said this a billion times on this show, but y'all do not believe daddy capitalism. Okay. There is a reason that there is a 1% and that richness and that, you know, obscene wealth is exclusive. And that's because they don't ever want you to get there, girl, but they're going to keep telling you to keep trying, but you will never make it.
Right.
So, you know, maybe try to live a good life instead of like sucking on the boot your entire life and dying with your pride.
Yeah.
You could just have a nice life.
Have you covered the business plot on Scam Goddess?
Mm-mm, not
yet. It's a very old story, but I would love to hear your take on it. But they basically, when FDR was like trying to put into place socialist practices to help America during the Depression, like the richest people on Wall Street approached a general and tried to basically stage a coup. To overthrow the government. Just like got written at. It was like unsuccessful because the general they approached, his name was Smedley Butler. And I think that was the only research they did. They were like, well, clearly this guy's evil. So,
very evil name.
Right. And he was like, actually, I'm not like going to do this and I'm going to tell on you guys. And it just got immediately written out of history because it's like, too on the nose. Yeah, it's too on the nose, and it's just too it puts the lie to everything we relied on during the Cold War.
Right. Which is also the thing. We curate too much of the education. So it's like the propaganda starts when you're a kid. And I've always said that, you know, what's your dream job? Bitch, I ain't never dream about working. So like you know? They got us from the get-go.
Yeah.
One thing that always that's sort of recently been really depressing me is, you know, when you're a kid and they're like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And, you know, a lot of the time kids will be like, I want to be a teacher because they have a teacher in their life who's like great. And they're like, I want to be like that, you know, and then they get older. And so many of those people end up not becoming teachers for the very, very obvious reason that I know you guys know, which is they get paid shit.
Yeah.
And that's also capitalism. Just making a choice to not do something that you think is good and that you want to do and something that you think is a net good for society because you know that you can't live, that your survival will not be guaranteed. That's capitalism too. It's just going, well, I guess I got to learn to code.
Yeah.
Right. So and that's also, it never ever ceases to amaze me that we underpay teachers like that because I consider teachers and babysitters, anybody who has to be around your kids when you are gone should be paid fairly. Because if you like, I ain't getting enough money for this shit, then I might, I don't know, let little Jimmy stay stuck in the tube slide for a little bit if I'm on lunch.
A teacher is an underpaid babysitter for 30 to 60 kids. And that's why they're spending their own money on shit. And that's why they're pissed. That's why they're fucking trying to unionize.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't want your babysitter pissed, okay? You don't want them shaking on little Timmy. That's all I'm saying.
They hate teachers. Yeah, you don't. Imagine if you had a babysitter come over and you were like, here's my 10 children. I would like you to look after them for 8 hours a day. I will pay you basically below minimum wage. I would like you to bring your own food. And sometimes I won't pay you.
Right.
Like they're going to kill those kids. They're going to kill them. The kids will kill themselves because they're very good at that. Kids love to try to die. So
it's their pastime.
Yeah, it's a pastime. You need somebody who's motivated, you know, that's the profit motive I have heard so much about. Right.
But God bless the teachers for still doing a great job, even though they're underpaid, because I don't know how y'all do it. That's why I'm not a teacher, because I would be like, let him stay in the closet. He got to learn. Like, get this lady out of here.
Yeah, my brother was arguing with my brother about capitalism, and he was like, well, you know, like, collective ownership doesn't make sense, because, like, if there was no money, like, then I wouldn't work, you know? If I didn't have to make money, I wouldn't work. I would just, like, go fishing all day. And I was like, yes, yes, now you're getting it.
There you go. I mean, and it's the things that we work at in this current system are just finding victims, finding people to dupe, to, like, take the money. It's just a predatory system. The smartest kids that I went to high school and college with went into fucking hedge funds because
that's where you make money.
Yeah, that's where you make money.
Crime.
I love that kind of crime. It's just finding that whose life are they making better by doing that? You know, like there's definitely I don't know. Let's talk about another broken system. Actually, my digestive system of late, thanks to all the bad news, not feeling great. But so it was announced at the end of last week that 6 Capitol Police officers who were there during the insurrection have been suspended, and 29 others are under investigation. One of the suspended officers took a selfie with someone who was part of the mob that overtook the Capitol.
What is with them? Why can't they not post
so hard on themselves?
Another wore a Make America Great Again hat and started directing people around the building.
He was a tour guide.
Yeah. And so there's still, I mean, 35 of the, it didn't even look like there were that many Capitol Police officers there. When you look at the footage, and 35 of them were are being investigated for.
Well, they were all inside the building,
being in on it. Yeah,
yeah. And also, shout out to the FBI wanted me to shout myself out. I was running an insurrection photo booth, and that's where they found a lot of the people. They stepped aside the box, and we.
You had the big funny glasses and the little mustache on a stick.
Yeah,
it was cute. It was a moment. The girls couldn't help but to post.
But you know what? Those memories are worth it.
All right, one silly one now. One silly one.
One silly one. Okay, hold the grenade up.
And then there's another study that just came out that it's a Pentagon report that reveals that white supremacy has made inroads into the military.
What? No way.
In America? They have inroads? Testimony
Bitch,
from
people.
I know. So that's the thing, is both of these stories, the way they're covered, suggests that we are having a new white supremacy problem in the police and in, you know, national defense and like military. And it's like those are white supremacist institutions from the start. Like from the very start, and
how they
inception, baby.
Yeah,
right. From like inception. Police were slave catchers. That's how they started. What do you mean? All this stuff is new. But you know what? I do love this as a grift for complicit white people, where you can just be like, "Wait a minute!" Like you could do a Chris Harrison and be like, "Okay, but being on the slave ranch and having a party there, that was fine in 2018. Look, racism started in June 2020, and we all know that."
That
okay, that's when it started. Racism was like, here we are, girls.
The reason George Floyd's
in
death
2018,
was, such a,
was it?
The reason George Floyd's death was such a big deal was because no police officer had ever killed a black person before.
Right.
No, they had never.
And once we saw that, once we saw that, we as a nation rose up and said, no.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know Rodney King was black.
Right.
Like, y'all just coming up with anything. I love it for you, though.
But
I mean, it must be like crazy year for me, but for people who just found out about racism, woo! Wow.
Yeah, this must be a big, wow.
It was a real hard 2020 for them. Damn.
We gotta do something about this, right? I feel like that's what you're hearing from like the Democrats. I mean, wow, this is...
I mean, this is what?
I mean, that's great if they can get that to catch on, that like people are like, oh shit, this is a huge problem. Like, let's fight against it. Like, that's great. But it...
Well, I don't. What? I'm gonna say I don't think that's ever gonna happen, because like if you admit that racism is at the foundation of this country, what you are doing is calling the Constitution into question, and people hate it when you do that.
Oh, they
and,
do not. Like that.
You know, they love to go. We love to go back. We love to go back to things, back to when we were a nation based on beautiful, pure ideals. And unfortunately, that's never been the case. There's no home to go back to, guys.
Yeah.
Right. Like, please stop. Also, like, why we gotta let these old dead niggas tell us what to do? Like, is this like the thing? If I work really hard, I can make some shit up, and then 500 years from now, they'll be like, no, we still listening to Lacey, dead ass. Like, well, I don't care what's happened.
Well, I think today you need to start like, a cult to do that. I think
there's all these dudes, these billionaire dudes moving to Puerto Rico, and also not even billionaires, just like rich YouTubers moving to Puerto Rico, trying to start. Jake Paul, like literally a colony on Puerto Rico. And I think this is, I mean, I am sure they are inspired by our founding fathers who did the same thing. They were like, here's a cool land, and I think we should create our own government on it. And
you didn't have like colonizer trading cards as a kid? Because my favorite colonizer was Ponce de Leon.
Yeah. De Leon. Rookie year, De Leon. Oh, shit.
Yeah. You ever whip that out against a Christopher Columbus? That's a good fight, okay?
Vespucci was my guy. Vespucci and the other one. What's that guy? The one who went to Mexico. You know. The one. Cabeza. I don't know his name.
Cabeza. I know who you're talking about. I know who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Something.
But
that's
just
rare.
To...
That's a rare card.
That's a rare card, yeah.
I mean...
I'm selling that one on eBay.
So there's this Pentagon study, you know, conducted interviews and found, you know, a bunch of extremist white nationalists within the military. And they were really surprised to find out that they weren't like it wasn't a secret thing where they were infiltrating. They were open about it to their fellow soldiers. And so I'm just going to read the back and forth they have in this report. The guard member said he felt free to be a neo-Nazi in the U.S. Army. Are you worried at all about being found by your mates or someone now being in the U.S. military? He was asked. To that, the soldier replied, I was 100% open about everything with the friends I made at training. They know about it all. They love me, too, because I'm a funny guy.
Who is that? Is that Milo? Is that Milo Yiannopoulos?
No,
they love me. They love me because I'm funny.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
Yeah, he's really funny.
But that's so now they're coming with this Pentagon report that's like extremism is a threat, and of unclear dimensions, in quotes, in the U.S. military.
That sounds cool. Unclear dimensions. That sounds like a Twilight Zone episode.
Right.
Right. It kind of sounds like it's everybody. They were like.
Unclear dimensions.
100%. They have barbecues. They have racism brunch, like bigot brunch on every other Saturday. Yeah.
I mean, they make little tokens for themselves. They make little like jackets, you know, mm-hmm. and they get their little tattoos. Yeah, their buttons, their little kill buttons.
So that amazingly, the tattoo thing is kind of the focus of this article. They're like, well, they're trying to stay up on what the tattoos mean. And if anybody knows what the tattoos mean, please let us know. It's always so interesting that they need so much help when it comes to white supremacy. They're like, we don't know. Could you like do some internet research for us?
Especially when it seems like these guys are more than happy to talk about it to you.
Absolutely.
And I'm tired of the FBI acting like they can't apply themselves. When it came to killing Fred Hampton, all the black leaders, you know, yes. y'all worked so hard. Where's that work ethic? You know what I mean? Because now y'all like, hey, internet, it's us, the FBI, again. Could y'all girls let us know who's, you know who's doing this?
Right.
They're crowdsourcing. They're like, can you guys find out who is a Nazi? And it's like, you guys, you are. Look within, baby.
Yeah. The... Like, watch Judas and the Black Messiah, and then keep in mind that the storming of the Capitol is being investigated by them, by that bureau, the FBI. That's the same, the same people. That's who.
That's the weird thing about white supremacy is it's very supreme and the best at everything according to them, except for when it comes to like helping other people, fixing problems. Then they're like, "Oh, girl, it's us, the FBI. We don't know how the internet works. Somebody get on TikTok."
Right, right.
Okay. Comment if you know any Nazis. Just drop their tag in the replies. Put their handle there, and we'll follow up from there. That's all we need. We just need a little bit of. Help, we don't know how to Google.
And it's so much easier to find people now than it was in the 60s. So y'all telling me back then, when y'all had to write letters to send information and shit, like, come on now.
All right, let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back. And a couple stories that have been kind of hanging around on the dock that just wanted to run through real quick. There is a real deep dive in on Medium about the ice cream company Ample Hills. Are you guys familiar with the fancy ice cream company from Brooklyn, Ample Hills?
Ample Hills sounds like
Ample
a porn.
Hills.
It does sound like a porn from the 40s when
like a cottagecore porn,
right? Like written by a farmer. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Ample Hills
and her Ample Hills.
Yeah. So what's the deal with that?
I feel like this is just like such a like a of the moment like trend that we will look back on and be like, ah, yes, that was a very 2021 story.
I mean, you did say like they were a 2018 indie ice cream shop from Brooklyn. So yeah, this is already dated.
Right. They just basically crashed and burned. They overextended, became friends with Bob Iger and
Ample.
Orpah, otherwise known as Oprah. Bob Iger and Oprah became fans and they like just went, they expanded to LA, then Disney World, started becoming obsessed with things like square pints, which they called squints. And
once again, guys, you don't need to do that.
We have writers, so many writers who can.
Also, how do you write that without it looking like squints?
Yeah, it does look like squints. Maybe
an accent mark. It's squint, guys. It's squint.
Right. They created Disney licensed flavors with watercolor art, and bankruptcy followed quickly. they also, just to make it fully just a failed venture of the moment, they also have a podcast now.
Do they still have the podcast even though they're bankrupt?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Do they have a Patreon?
You can keep the podcast.
Yeah.
So podcasts are a lot cheaper than ice cream.
Talking about ice cream, like, y'all, look, I know in 2020, everybody was like, I don't know, we stuck at home. I shout into the void. I'm making a podcast. But a podcast about ice cream, bitch, Wendy's has a podcast. I can't. I'm looking at Ample Hills right now, and I will say this. I think that 2020 killed Ample Hills. I think that if they had had a time and place where we were all free, then this would have worked. They would have been at Coachella giving the girls, you know, watercolor creams.
It's very Coachella.
Instagram moments.
Yeah.
They would have had a tie-dye flavor by now.
Yeah.
Everyone would have a mini Ripperton photo by now with the ice cream cone melting in their hand, and it would be giving cute. They would also be wearing an afro, regardless of race. And they could have had that. And I'm sorry that 2020 killed them Ample Hills, because that's what did it.
Right.
But you know what? Sometimes businesses deserve to die.
Yeah.
I will say this. They did expand quickly with Oprah's influence and stuff. But for a long time, like ever since the Oprah show and she used to do Oprah's favorite things, after the first couple of years, they would demand that if you wanted to be in Oprah's list or if you wanted to be in Oprah's company, that you had to expand. Because what would happen was, is she would talk about a product and then everyone would want to go buy it and it would be gone. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were like, oh, we're working with Oprah now. Let's open all the ice cream stores, y'all.
Right.
Get the scoopers.
Yeah.
Right. They didn't really have any other choice, because when Oprah mentioned something, it just immediately like sells out for a decade.
But that's really amazing that she demanded that instead of I'll recommend your product to my fans and then they'll buy you out to the point where, you know, you're sold out, that she would instead demand that they expand. That's very interesting.
Because she didn't want to like put a bunch of companies out of business or break them.
If you sell out, you can just
That's true.
You know, that's a business that's performing very well. Like selling out is kind of the goal, you know?
Yeah. But it was like the fan base, because her reach would be so large. Because, you know, she made Javianas pop. She made Greensburg turkeys pop. Mm-hmm. Like, she was like, y'all better get out there and start
Javianas?
Killing more turkeys.
That was her?
Mm-hmm. She was like, this is my favorite flip-flop. Wow. And then everyone was like, everybody got their toes in those.
Javianas!
Yep. I never knew what that was before her. Like, she turned a lot of businesses out. But
and this whole time,
I've
been calling them Javinas.
Havina.
You might be right.
I've been calling them Havina the whole time. I don't know. I'm not looking at your foot to read what's on there.
Mm. You better look at the labels on my foot. I spend.
I like
money
to say Havina. Havina.
Poor Ample Hills. Another RIP to the pandemic.
Pour out some melted ice cream. for Ample Hills. But check out their podcast. All right.
Jack, I will.
That's a lie. I don't think anyone will.
No, it's so true, Jack. It's so true.
So the Game of Thrones guys, the Benioff and Weiss, the Davids, the Dave's Id, are like made a $200 million deal with Netflix that killed their deal with Disney. People were just like, they fucked up that last season so bad. We got to get a piece of these guys. So there was like a bidding war. They had a deal with Disney to make.
War?
Yeah, they had a deal with Disney to make a Star Wars movie. And then they were like, sorry, we got too busy with this $200 million Netflix deal. So we're going to have to take a step back from Star Wars. Disney might have actually encouraged that because it was also around the time that they totally fucked up the landing on the end of Game of Thrones. So Disney might have been like, oh, maybe these guys aren't worth it.
No, because the girls, the Star Wars girls would storm. What's the equivalent of storming the Capitol, but for Disney? They're going to storm the Epcot?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You can't. Don't mess with the Star Wars girls.
Yeah. Storm the castle. What's the Cinderella castle?
Right. But this is wild to me. You know, talk about failing up. Because the Game of Thrones was heavily reliant on the plot of its books. And because it was so successful, I think Dave and Dave started feeling themselves like, okay, George R.R., you did whatever. But, you know, we're going to take it from here. And they were terrible without the books leading them.
Really
awful.
Bad.
Yep.
Lacey, they made a... So one of the things you hear them say when they talk about Game of Thrones is, we had never done this before. We were just learning as we went.
We know.
Right, yeah. And they made a pilot, shot an entire pilot, turned it into HBO. HBO was like, you guys, this fucking sucks. And it cost tens of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And then HBO was like, take another crack at it. Like, recast. Shoot another pilot, and that one worked. But that's how much they failed up. They just keep being given chance after chance after chance. Anyways,
it's absolutely ridiculous how much we are willing to rely on white men, even if it means like we're gonna sacrifice so much the story, the content, like
just millions of dollars. They were
it shows in
to
our
just...
reboot culture. They were like, oh, the Browns have made new things. No. We'll
no,
keep.
Thank you.
We're gonna do we're gonna do this movie we've done six times over the past 20 years. Again.
Let's do cheaper by the dozen, 8.
Right.
Because that's like 12 white kids. 14, perhaps. Yeah. I don't
and
know.
That movie came from like the 50s. Like, that movie's been redone. The original remake that we all know with Steve Martin is a remake.
If we don't get a Black Parent Trap in the next 5 years, I'm going to scream.
Right.
We'll get it, but it'll be half black. We can't have too many blacks on screen at
you're
once
right.
unless you're Tyler Perry.
It'll be two mixed kids. And who will be white, the mom or the dad?
Ooh, I don't know. See, that's
I
where
think
it
it's,
gets
okay.
interesting.
It is where it gets interesting. I think it's going to be the mom is going to be black and the dad is going to
be already
white.
Doing that. That's Gabrielle Union and Zach Braff. They're doing Cheaper by the Dozen and Gabrielle. And they're going to have, Kenya Barris is writing that. So that's happening now.
Oh, Kenya.
Yes.
Oh,
listen.
Kenya.
Listen, I work in the industry, so I'll keep my mouth closed. But, you know, just get on Twitter. The girls will tell
you. You know what?
He's one of my favorite actors, actually.
Black AF was very fun. I enjoyed Black AF.
Well written, for sure. And like I said, he's one of my favorite actors. Him and Chris Paul in those State Farm commercials are...
I'm dying.
So the Game of Thrones guys actually, like, hit on a very interesting... Like, they have good taste in... novels. So the thing that their $200 million Netflix deal is about is this thing called the Three Body Problem. It's a Chinese trilogy that is about humans contacting with extraterrestrial life and intelligence and, you know, what happens. It's very, like, richly imagined, very, like, detailed. There's all sorts of intrigue, people getting assassinated because of like all these like secrets and shit. And the story of like how this is coming to screen also involves like assassinations and shit. So like after they bought the rights last December, one of the main people at the company that was also like a co-owner of the rights died at 39, and it was found he was found to have at least 5 different types of poison in his blood.
And they're not fucking around.
Not 5 different types. They wanted to make sure he was dead.
And then 2 other employees, including the vice president, were poisoned with mercury in lethal doses. And it was recently reported that the Chinese authorities detained a suspect who hasn't been charged, but allegedly the suspect is a lawyer who was working on the 3 body problem. And it was like possibly jealousy, but like it doesn't fully, like we don't have the full story. But in the novels, like the creative people and scientists are all being poisoned because they like know this secret. And so it just like fits.
They know about all the bodies.
Right. They know
the
about
3 bodies.
Yes. The 3, all 3 of them. But it like fits. This could be a plot from the novel. It's really interesting. So again, way too interesting for these 2 dudes to be in charge of adapting it.
Don't worry, they will simplify it.
Right,
okay.
Right. Well, I am a little bit more hopeful because this is like a complete trilogy. They won't have the opportunity to like go off prompter.
They won't get to freestyle.
I wouldn't put it past them. I think they're going to do whatever they want. I think they're going to go off book and they're going to. But you know what kind of makes me sad about the whole the Davids, the failing upwards thing is not just that they get opportunities that other people don't get, but like a lot of Game of Thrones is really great. You know, like the fact that those guys got chances means that we got a show that, you know, millions of people loved
really
and like
right.
really fun show. And that's you're losing that every time somebody doesn't get to fail up. We're losing something that you could have loved for years, you know, something that could have been like that for you. You know, it's not always bad to give somebody another chance.
That's true.
Right. And that's true.
So it's like, it just means that like the problem, you know, when you think about, wow, what if that hadn't happened? That applies to like every deal you never saw because it fell through. You know, that applies to every like young director who directed, you know, young female director who directed one movie and it did okay and then never got another job.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And that's, exactly.
It's also a different culture now in Hollywood. Writers want to be celebrities. They want to be like actors. And they kind of have always wanted to. A lot of my good writer friends who've been in tons of rooms will be like, most of the writers that I've dealt with like at table reads, they'll like hate the actors who are reading their scripts. They'll be like, oh my God, she fucked that joke up. That's why it didn't work. Especially like in comedy and stuff where you're like turning jokes. It's like if the actor doesn't turn your joke, they'll just blame your writing, right? Mm-hmm. So like, oh, she doesn't fucking try. We hate that bitch. So it's so funny now to see so many shows where they have an after show where it's writers or head writers like sitting down in front of the camera like, so this is what we thought when we really wanted the audience to see. And I'm like, y'all girls want to be on the carpet so bad, don't you? Okay. Because like David, who told y'all we needed to hear from y'all after them Game of Thrones episode?
Yeah. Right. I don't need to know your names.
Right. That's funny.
I always love when they're commenting on a scene. And they're like, well, we really wanted people to feel, you know, X, Y, Z. And I'm like, I didn't get that at all. Like, you wrote that scene pretty bad because that is not how I saw it.
If you want to find out the least interesting take on a piece of art, ask the artist, like, what? Because it's coming from a place they don't understand. That's like them trying to make sense of it is the process of the art a lot of the time. So. Like the worst person to hear talk about, about the art is a lot of times the artist. Well, Sara, Lacey, it's been a pleasure having you both. Sara, where can people find you and follow you?
I am back on Instagram, so you can follow me on Instagram. My Instagram handle is is corpseflower, FLOUR. On TikTok, you can find me at u_tube_channel.
And is there any work of social media you've been enjoying?
There is. I would like to play you this this TikTok audio because I love TikTok now. Oh, but before I do that, I want to say please also follow High Priestess Comedy on Instagram. That is my show. We have not been doing shows during pandemic, but we are going to be doing a Zoom show on Friday the 26th for to benefit Texas Mutual Aid. We're going to get a bunch of Austin comics to come out and raise money because, it's really fucking bad over there. But fortunately, there's a lot of places you could donate to. So I'm going to now play you this extremely good TikTok. And I'm going to hold the mic up to the phone. Yep.
It's pronounced enchilada.
For context, this video is titled "If Mexican Food Was Made by Italian Americans."
She makes the best quesadilla. Hey, you better put some hot sauce on this burrito. Tostada. You take the nacho, you put a little queso, a little guacamole.
It's perfect. It's great. This is by Owl Owl on TikTok. If Mexican food was made by Italian Americans, and it rocks.
Lacey. Such a pleasure having you as always. Where can people find you and follow you?
Yes. Okay. So as always, guys, if you like robbery, if you like comedy, Scam Goddess Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to follow me, it's D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey on all platforms except for TikTok, which is Lacey mostly because there's a little child who is Diva Lacey.
Wow. On there.
So she beat me to it. I had pretty solid branding for a while. I was really hurt and disappointed. And a TikTok that I'm enjoying. Tweets, one I have to just shout out. Ryan Ken Axe. It's Ryan _ Ken _ Axe. If you want really funny TikTok mashups and videos and stuff, he's been doing a wild shit and it's amazing. Like they did a whole Malcolm and Marie Where Their Neighbors bit. Like, they were in black and white in the house next door. Like they still yelling out there. Like it was very funny. and then I'm just going to grab my own tweet today for something that I was liking. I like myself.
Yeah.
I wish people would stop refilling name brand hand sanitizer with bootleg concoctions. I'm tired of my hands smelling like a margarita.
Yes.
Thank you.
And that's also a PSA.
Yes, please.
Thank you for that. Because I go to Trader Joe's.
Tell me it's not Purell.
Yeah, they were like, well, let's spray this on your hands. I smell like a whiskey bar.
Yeah. It's like they didn't mean real alcohol, y'all. Like, it has right. to be above 7.
Put some glycerin in there.
Yeah.
Like, why are y'all in the back with a bottle of pop-off? Like, no, it's going to work. It's going to sanitize.
Tweet I enjoyed. Natasha Leggero tweeted, one of the most unique qualities about my husband is he uses 9 knives to make a sandwich. And... that ring
is that you, Jack? That is that me. Are you Natasha
married humor
husband?
I might as well be married humor.
Oh yeah, shout out to the married girls.
Uh-huh. Hashtag couple goals, hashtag husband and wife, hashtag wife pranks.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Where we link off. Wow. We got to capture that and make that just something that always drops in. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode. And we will also link off to a song recommendation. And Sara, you had a song that you wanted to recommend to us, or an artist.
Yes. This is Golis Sadberg is the one that I linked you to. That's a Shahram Nozeri. That is a 1-hour track. So settle in, guys, because we're gonna play the whole thing. This one's for my dad. That's for him. This is what I listened to. If you go listen to it, just imagine me, 7 years old, in the back of a car for 8 hours, being forced to listen to this very sad spiritual yodeling. And you'll understand a little bit more about me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or... smoke a little weed like it's a Pink Floyd track, you know?
Yep.
Just, all right. Well, we are going to link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We are back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Hey.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.